podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
Welcome back. Everyone good? We'll be to the toilets. Yeah? Jolly good. Before we kick off, just to remind you here and at home, our next Spurs show, live show, end of season party, May 23rd at the 100 Club with Danny Rose. Yeah. I think outside there's some posters with QR codes so you can take a photo and get the tickets. He's obviously very outspoken. That'll be a great... I mean, he was there like 14 years. He's someone who's 17. He's only 33, Danny Rose.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there throughout, obviously, the Poch era and before that. And he was the one who famously said, Spurs have got to start signing players that you don't have to Google to find out who they are.
That's right.
Which didn't go down very well, so we can expect some revelations.
And another one who scored a cracking goal against the Woolwich as well.
One of the best. Probably the second best.
The second best. Anyway, let's bring him back on, Mr. Paul Gascoigne. Right, you've written a lot of questions here. We've had to sort of sift through them all.
Yeah.
Apologies if you've had some of these questions before.
Yeah, I've just had a cigarette. Cheers on the box. Smoking kills. I've tried fucking everything else, believe me.
Someone hasn't put the name to it. Apart from the semi-final goal, what goal for Tottenham gave you the greatest satisfaction?
Obviously, the one against Arsenal, that's a great satisfaction. And I think it was the one was, to be fair, that hat-trick against Shilton. I know that I was opening a few shops and doing a few things and that, and the press said he's not concentrating on his game. And I went out and scored a fucking hat-trick. Yeah, good luck. Imagine if I was concentrating on the fucking game and not ostriches and shooting fucking pigeons and stuff like that. But, yeah, that one was special. You know, really, and then obviously the two at Portsmouth,
yeah,
because I knew the game of squash didn't do too well, but yeah, it was that one really. And then I think, I know it doesn't mean much to many people, but you know, when I made that, I had to do a practice match and I had no players, so I rang all the apprentices up and I says, I'll give you £50 if you turn up and play for us just so I can get my fitness and all turned up, you know. I think, especially Sol Campbell, I think Sol come because I offered him £50, he fucking played, but yeah, so they all play that one, you know. That was just to prove I was back, you know, back to my best.
Yeah. This one's from Agnes. Were there any teammates at Spurs who just weren't having your pranks? She says Pat Van Den Hout, for example, did he?
He was mad. I mean, I've had a couple of drinks with Pat, and I remember I was sitting in the pub, and there was only me and him. He was sitting there, and I was sitting there, and there's a guy behind him, and he's like, after a few beers, he went, he's fucking looking at me, Gazza. Who is? The fucking in behind us. I went, he's not lovely, how do you know? But yeah, Pat, he come in a couple of venues, he was a bit smashed, like, and I was a bit jealous at the time, but yeah, no, he was all right, Pat, but he was quite a serious guy, like, you know. I always remember that tackle. It was away at the Forest, and it was like, it was 50-50, it was him and Stuart Pearce, and I swear they clattered each other, and the ball flew about fucking the other side of the pitch. I went, oh, that must have been some fucking challenge, that. But yeah, Pat, good lad, but nuts. Good looking bastard as well. Like,
yeah.
He went out with that model, didn't he?
Manny Smith was married. Didn't they get married, Manny Smith?
They got married, yeah.
Yeah, he got married. And I went out with... My model was a fucking Lego piece, I think. Like, you
know. Okay, no name here. What school did you go to? Was it in Gateshead? Was there a teacher who got you on the path that got you playing football and anyone...
No, really. You? I mean, I just... You know, my dad bought me football when I was seven. First leather football, and I just dribbled it everywhere. But I remember the first school trials, and I scored a hat-trick. And I was a bit cocky, and I keep it... Mr. Wilson, that was his name, he'd come and give us a scud across the ear. But it was... he was give us a whack. But I remember the one of when I was 14, I was signing my autograph... We're doing geography. No, I didn't give a fuck about geography, believe me. And I was signing my autograph at 14, and he come in, the teacher, the history teacher, what are you doing? Sign my autograph, sir. He says, what for? I said, I'm going to be a professional footballer. He said, you know, one in a million make it. And I went, yeah, I'm going to be that fucking one. So I got expelled, and I tell you what I did. After the World Cup, do you know where I went? To that fucking school. Same class, same ginger beard, and I had a little window like that, the wind, and I knocked on it. I went, you fucking remember me? He went, yeah. So I took him up to the pub and spiked his drink. So, and I caused mayhem in the school. Imagine that. Oh, the fucking kids were getting off it. I went there every day for about 4 days running. Gaza, you got to stop it, please. Fucking hell. Yeah, some good memories.
This one's from Daisy. She says, have you ever made it up with Glenn Hoddle?
I did eventually. Well, I say I did. I mean, I was only till I was in a lift. Which when it was the Euros in Portugal. I went to the lift and he was there. And I said, I'll just forget about it, you know. Because it took us a year to get over that.
Mm.
You know, I remember crying, ringing up Brian Robson, saying, I can't believe what he's fucking did. Yeah, it took us a bit, but, you know, it's gone now, and, you know, I'm always wishing him well, whatever he's up to. He's a great player, you know, great for Spurs as well, like, you know.
Yeah. He did say on our show that was, without doubt, his most difficult decision he ever made in his career.
Well, I was told by Terry Venables before that, when he was appointed manager, Terry Venables and Walter Smith both said the same thing. At different times, says, look, be careful, because Glenn Hoddle will probably want to make a name for himself, you know. But I remember once when he was England manager, and we all had a team meeting, and we were all sitting in the big room, and this guy from France comes over, and he says, look, Glenn Hoddle got him, obviously, from Monaco or whatever, and he was telling the players, he says, look, chew to win. And he was talking about chew to win, because if you chew your food more, you get better metabolism and you train better. So anybody want to ask any questions? So all the lads are quiet, and I went, I'll ask him. I says, well, if that's right, if you're good, why are you not working for the French? He went, because the mentality is not good to win the World Cup. France went and won the fucking World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ. So, but then we did have a few problems. Like, I remember we played away, I can't remember, it was Poland or something like that. And he used to give the lads, like, carrots and that. Well, the lads wanted, like, fucking beans or whatever, or chicken or pasta and that. And so I remember the Nevilles used to room each other, arguing all the time with each other. So I says, what's my view fucking do? Gaza, well, we want pre-match meal, proper one. He says, we're not allowed. He says, it's okay. I says, what do you want? So the told us, fucking, they wanted chicken and fucking cornflakes. So I goes down to the kitchen and I make them chicken and cornflakes and take them up to them and says, yeah, keep that fucking quiet. I says, don't tell the gaffer you go off it, that you fucking have given me, cooked you this, all right. So they have the food and Saul Camel, yes, Saul can fucking, Saul, when he eat Saul on his plate, you needed to pay, I said to him, Saul, I'm not being funny, but you need a pair of fucking mountain boots to get the top of your plate. And I said, what do you want? He went, rice. I need rice, vegetable rice. So I went downstairs, cooked him the biggest fucking bowl of rice. I says, there, keep that fucking quiet. Well, all I hear is now fucking Saul playing Pavarotti, door open, eating his fucking rice. And I just said, Glenn Hoddle, just say, where'd you get this from? Gaza cooked, is it? Oh, fucking cheers, Saul. So we had a few arguments in the dressing room, like, you know, but yeah. Yeah, but we've made up since. Yeah.
That's good. That's nice.
Do you remember the Fishing Ills or the Kingfisher pub while you were at Spurs?
Yeah, I was... my dad's friend built boats. So I said to him, make us a boat. So he built us a boat, and I got it delivered from Gateshead and parked it out in the river, the canal, next to the Fishing Ills. And the stupid bastard that made the boat, if I wanted to go right, you had to turn the steering wheel to the left. Well, after a few fucking beers, believe me. All I remember is in the boat with David Howells, I went, Howellsy, I cannot stop this fucking boat. And we're heading towards the Fish and Eels pub, and the fence had just crashed right way fucking through it. So not only did I lose the boat, I had to pay for damages at the fence as well. Freaking nightmare. I did play football as well, though.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you that.
This one's from Sally. It says, she says, I cannot remember watching any game that you played in where there was a better player in the starting lineups than you. Were you aware of that? When you walked out on the pitch, I think what she's getting at is when you walk out on the pitch and you know you're the best player on the pitch in every game, how does that feel? Is that something you can use and channel, or do you have to calm yourself down?
Fucking loved it. I just knew, like, because when you got the press following you all the time, you know, every day, loads of them for talk about this and that. And so my freedom was 90 minutes. I knew I'd for 90 minutes, that was my place. You know, I owned it for 90 minutes. I wasn't bothered. Even in the World Cup, I was not giving a fuck against who I played against, what team they were. I wasn't interested. And it was the same when I played for Tottenham, you know. Great, great team, great morale. And, you know, even before the games, just looking back, memories. I mean, what a fucking great club. And, you know, Terry Venables, he'd be doing his team talk. All the lads sitting there with the suits on. I was sitting there bollock naked. Just fucking... I'd pretend to get, like, excuse me, a bit of a hard-on, just playing with it a bit. Like, guys, I know what you're doing. Anyway, guys, be careful of this. And then we used to do set pieces. We do set pieces, corners, right? I must have fucking Terry Venables, how he caught with me. I fucking never know. But we used to do these corners and say, right, guys, I'll just let you know, you're going to be the front post. Now, fuck off. Go and play with the ball somewhere down there. Well, I can't just get the lads to concentrate. And I used to... videotape the team training so you could watch it afterwards, you know, how we trained and that. And you used to have this big crane behind the goal, this big massive crane. The guy used to go up in the crane under the square thing and videotape with training. And he was right, it must be about 60 foot up in the air. So we finished training, and as the lads were getting on the bus, I decided to take the fucking key off the guy up there. Fucking hell. I've got the key. Got on the bus. Went home. It's now 7, 8 o'clock at night. He's supposed to be up there about 4 hours. Gaza, have you got the keys to the fucking truck where he's still stuck up there? He must have been freezing, know what they call. And the guy must have thought, call Terry Venables. He's fucking... Where's... Oh, shit, Gaffer's in me pocket. We need it quick. He's fucking freezing his nuts up. All right. Fucking hell. So that was the way I used to warm up before matches. You know, fucking hell.
So looking back, you know, at your time at Tottenham, what's the club mean to you now when you look back?
Yeah, those years when I opened up, when we played that game for opening up the stadium, I had a hit operation and I hurt my Achilles, but the ovation I got off the fans was phenomenal. You know, it was tears in my eyes. Afterwards, it's like fucking hell. I remember saying to me, man's a Katie thing, fucking I used to play for these. You know, I absolutely loved it. I mean, it was the best time in my life, regards playing football wise and the club and the fans, you know. I used to love it. And, you know, it was a privilege to walk out on a Saturday afternoon with the Spurs shirt on. Mm.
Well, I mean, I'm speaking on behalf of everyone. You gave us so much pleasure. We never got as fans to do a proper farewell because of the injury in the cup final. You never came back. So it's been lovely, many years on, to have 400 people in a room who can finally pay tribute to everything you've done for Tottenham Hotspur. Mr. Paul Gascoigne.
Cheers, guys. It's great seeing you, eh? Cheers. God bless. Thanks very much for turning up. Come on, you Spurs. Cheers, pal. God bless you, lads. You know.
Lovely. Thank you so much for coming along. I hope you had a great night. Try and come to our next one in May with Danny Rose. Thank you very much. Good night. Thank you. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.